Hello and welcome to Platforms for Future. This podcast is about building and scaling B2B platform ventures to help you to accelerate and de-risk your journey with practical tips and insights. In our conversations, we talk to founders, executives, and experts uncovering what they experienced and learned building their ventures. But we also cover new trends like ecosystem strategies, IoT and data platforms, Web3 and sustainability. This podcast is complementary to our Platform Innovation Kit toolset and the Platform Academy, where you can find more tools and learning opportunities for you and your team. For more information, please visit platforminnovationkit.com. And now, enjoy today's conversation.
Hello, and welcome to this new edition of our podcast, Platforms for Future. I'm Nathalie Dumas-Lamborghini, and I'm here with my major co-host, Matthias. Hi, Matthias.
Hi, Nathalie. Also, nice to be back here in the podcast together with you.
Yes, I'm looking for adjectives for you every time, but, except my favorite, I don't know what to say.
lovely co-host is totally
lovely,
the best.
Major. And so here today, I'm very delighted because we've got a French dream team around the table or around the podcast. And we're welcoming Eric Mangin and Paul Tirolois, who are going to introduce CSR platform to us called NOS. Hi, Paul. Hi, Eric.
Hello, Nathalie. Hello, Mathias.
Hi, Nathalie.
So the first thing we do generally is that we ask you to introduce yourselves and introduce the platform. Introduce NOS to us. Who wants to start?
Eric, if that's fine, I can start. So you can go second and present what we do.
Okay.
All right. I'm Paul. I'm French, as Eric. So in a nutshell, I come from a finance background. I used to work in investments and venture capital. And I've been an entrepreneur for the past 2-3 years, creating this company with Eric, mainly over the last 2 years.
So hi, everybody. I'm Eric. Kind of a difficult background because I have a background in biology, marine biology, though I work also for the World Bank, as a social economic expert. I've been also involved in many humanitarian projects in Asia, mostly. I've been also a bit curious, like it was surprised. I've been also CFO and HR director for a large chemical company in China. And I'm an entrepreneur for the last 7 years, and NOS is my second project. So what is NOS? I think is the next question.
Yes, what
so
is NOS? Is
NOS, yeah. So what we do at NOS is we have the feeling that today that people wants to address the challenges of the planet and the society. So the people, their clients, their employees, and therefore brands want to, you know, to do things, to talk to those people. And for that, we have created a platform, which is to expertise in CSR and use the company can develop and implement a CSR strategy together with their stakeholders, mainly employees, but also customers at some point.
And let me just also mention that NOS is written with two O's, N-O-O-S, right?
Yeah.
So you were saying to us just before that it was had a Greek connotation?
Yeah, so NOS first is a word that is used in many countries. In France, it was a company who was providing internet in the 90s. In Spain, is the name of a scandal, but NOS is also a concept, philosophical concept from Plato. And Plato was trying to establish what would be the highest level of care and the intelligence of humans. And it was collected. So it was, I would say, we. And as a matter of fact, nous became nous in French and nosotros in Espanol. This nous is a sense of belonging of the community and the care of each other, I would say.
A funny side fact here. So I'm from Germany, from the eastern part of Germany, from Saxony. And when we say yes, we say no. So it's the highest version of saying yes, right? yeah. Thanks for introducing NOS. And you said it's about CSR and helping companies to implement a CSR strategy. Can you specify it a bit more to our listeners so that they can better imagine what it does?
Yeah, sure. So how it works. So basically the companies we are working with, there are mainly companies for which CSR is very important, but they lack the resources internally to build such a project. So for most companies, it's business as usual, but CSR becomes more and more important. But it doesn't mean that they will have a dedicated team for that. So the typical company we work with, they have a person who's in charge of CSR, but for who it's not the main responsibility, right? Someone for who is going to be 20%, 30% of the time. So I wanted to have a solution that's very easy to implement, that's affordable, and that allows any company to build a CSR strategy with limited resources and financial resources and human resources. So the way it works is we built the solution around a tool, which basically allows its users. So the users are mainly the employees of the companies. So it will allow them to engage with impact subjects around environments and society. There are three principal ways the users can engage with those subjects. The first one is donations. So it's obviously an easy way to help associations. So what we do is we allow users, so employees, to select projects from associations and companies that respond to specific criteria. We allow them to choose projects that they like and that the company will support. Whenever they want, they can follow those projects. They get news, they get videos, they get testimonials, and they can also donate their own money if they want to. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that they can give time to these associations to help them. So either the structure, so the association, you can help on finance, communication, fundraising, like a number of subjects, you can help associations. And you can also help the beneficiaries. So mentorship, help on the ground, distribute foods, whatever, you can help people on the ground. And so a lot of companies start to implement that as a way to integrate solidarity into the daily life at work. So that's the second type of engagement possibility that we offer. The third one is what we call challenges and sensibilization. So the way this works is that we have content that we produce and that rotates frequently. And the idea is to engage employees on a regular basis with learning content and small challenges that you can do at home, at work, on the daily life. So it can be using the stairs instead of the elevator. It can be doing your carbon footprint assessment on the governmental website. It can be a number of things. But the idea is to engage everyone to do small actions, to learn and to get information and to share with others on a daily basis. So we have this tool offering these three solutions to its users. And then aside from that, we have a team that's composed with mostly, I mean, tech guys for the platform. And the rest of the team is mainly experts in CSR. And their role is to help the companies in the implementation and in the animation of their CSR strategy. So you will have the tool plus a CSR expert to help those companies. So the conclusion is basically any company can have a very engaging CSR strategy with very limited resources, thanks to the combination of the expert and the tool that we provide.
To add a bit on that, another thing that we do, because we measure the impact of those actions, we know precisely what the effect, the impact on the planet and the society. And so we take it, we put it in a space where, you know, companies can communicate the good deeds to their audience. And it's a very big concern for companies to properly talk about what they do in terms of good things and, you know, to avoid greenwashing and so on. So communicating based on facts and what they really tangibly achieve is a good way to help them to better communicate internally and externally about those impact / CSR subjects.
Am I right in thinking that you're making accessible for small and medium businesses these type of solutions that maybe bigger corporates would deploy for themselves?
Yeah, I mean, right now, the main target is indeed SMBs. The companies we target usually are between 100 and 1,000 employees. But it doesn't mean that it's not accessible to bigger companies. I mean, the tool especially, the expertise part, the team that's helping the companies, it may be less relevant for a bigger company because they have 1, 2, 3, 5, 10 people specifically on that, and they have the degree, the training, whatever. But the tool on the other side, like the technical side, it can be very helpful for them to increase the engagement rate of the employees, of the partners, the clients, or whatever in the strategy of the company. And it can be also very helpful to help them monitor, track, and communicate on their engagements. Typically, most of the companies that make donations, they don't track the impact that's generated by the donation. They just know how much money they gave to what association. Usually, if you ask them what was done with that money, they don't know the response. So it can be a very useful tool for the companies as well, obviously with a higher degree of personalization. So we have done that in the past. So it can be useful for both, but the core market we are targeting is SMBs with no dedicated CSR team, only someone that's on that subject part of his time.
What I also really like is that you create a CSR strategy bottom up, right? So when you engage with the employees and you create an awareness among them, so they see also if they select the right project, they can have also a positive impact to their close environment, not something far away, but really, really close, maybe next kindergarten or whatever. This creates a lot of awareness and engagement. Is this what you see? And what is also the your strategy, how you want to tackle a better CSR strategies or create better CSR strategies within companies?
The big concern of companies is to converse on CSR topics with the stakeholders, should they be employees and or clients. And what we do with our tools is that, you know, we really engage them in this conversation. It means that at some point, they're part of the decision making. And so what we give is the possibility of the stakeholders of the brands to just say what they want to support, to indicate the cause they truly care about. So from there, so the company has an alignment with all the stakeholders, thanks to the platform. And then the brand can also learn about the interests and the values that are defended by their stakeholders. So they can constantly readjust the brand on their stakeholders.
So let's backtrack a little bit. Now we understand what the platform is doing. Maybe you can take us back to the birth of the adventure, a bit of history.
So it started a bit before the COVID, actually. I was doing some consulting for a big corporate for CSR. And one of the concerns was about leveraging the technology to ease CSR. And so I got this idea about, more and more clients were asking the brands to commit the planet and the people. And likewise, more and more employees, before they were considering the CSR as an impact, as a key criteria. At some point, it was about how we could help small companies and medium companies that have exactly the same challenges for selling or for the recruitment to do something. And at this moment, I was in touch with Paul for a while and so on. So we discussed this idea with Paul and we ended up with this project. And since then, we are together on this thing.
And then you came to the conclusion, let's build a platform and implement it. Oh, how came you then to the final conclusion?
We've been talking. So then we started to talk with many, many different, at the beginning, we're trying to see how we could add the CSR value to travel players. But then we were, feeling that something were happening out there. So we started to talk to many, many different kinds of companies, industry, typology of companies and so on. So we realized that all companies, big and small, were needing, tools and solutions to implement the CSR and to converse about impact with the stakeholders. And mostly for at the beginning from small and medium companies, because this is they are the companies that really need that.
So let me be a bit provocative. I think everybody agrees that CSR is a must have, a must do, a must plan. Where it becomes more complicated is it a must invest? Especially on the SMB market, which suppose have a bit less budgets available than big corporates. Was this offer received not in terms of capability, of course, but in terms of budget and investment?
You put the finger on one big problem for us, because timing, even though the trend is moving fast, with the understanding of, you know, the impact on the CSR strategy, or the lack of CSR strategy on the business. It's still for the company the big question, you know, like, okay, we know CSR is kind of trendy, important, but it needs to happen. And what we try to do with all the team is to show that behind that, there is losses of opportunities for the funding, for the sales and so on, or for the recruitment. Recently, you know, we just made the math. We took a lot of studies and so on. And the studies show that if you have a CSR strategy, you can decrease the cost related to your turnover by 35%. It means that people stay more in a company with a CSR strategy than a company without the CSR strategy. And as you know, a turnover is a cost for the company because you need to replace, to train, and so on. So, you know, even for a small company of 100 people, a turnover like 20% is very, very, very expensive, more than 100,000, at the end of the year. So NOS is not the whole solution to address that, but it's a part of the solutions. And the investment on NOS, you know, as a SaaS platform, is very limited compared to the cost that you will have to pay if you don't put that in place.
Yeah, and actually what I wanted to add was that the willingness to invest for companies, it has changed. Even the consideration of CSR as a must-have, it has changed a lot over the last years. I would say it's a subject that has existed for a long time. It's not new. But for all these years, basically all the time before COVID, CSR was usually related to no decision maker within the companies. There was someone that was here to, like, they didn't have a real decision power. And after COVID, we saw a very big shift in that. We saw a lot of companies in the CAC 40 that started to recruit very politicized CSR, like heads of CSR that were linked to the COMEX, if not the CEO. Today, every single company in the CAC 40 has someone like that. And this resonates into the entire ecosystem. And so companies started to do things more and more. And today we see that the awareness and the willingness to do something has changed a lot. I would say a vast majority of the companies have someone dedicated for CSR, even if it's part of their time. And the willingness to invest is growing more and more. I'd say it's what we call a blue ocean. So it's a market that is under construction. So it's not as big as it should be, but it will be. And it's growing a lot. And I would say it grows with the willingness to pay from our customers. That what we say, we are convinced it's true, obviously. They were not a few years ago, and they start to be more and more. And we can see that from the conversations that we have and the signatures that we have.
I really like the angle where you're coming from, especially what Eric mentioned with the employees and group of companies. They see, okay, we have to do something because we are forced to by regulation and law and whatever. So they do the minimal stuff they have to do some greenwashing, whatever, buying some certificates, whatever. And then you said, we are not coming from this angle. We're coming from the angle of employees and maybe the war for talent. The more and more employees want to work for an employer who has understood CSR and lives CSR and not just doing it for some certificates. And if you don't do it as an employee, if you don't do it right, you will lose your key resources, your employees. So it's more like coming from this human factor perspective instead of you have to do it because of regulation. So I really like it. And you also engage with the employees. So you create some kind of internal network effect inside of a company. So you say, okay, we have a lot of employees in the company and we have a huge workforce and we have a huge number of people. And so why not engaging with them via our platform? So you mentioned also they can select the projects they want to invest in. They maybe can also propose some projects. They can also do some funding. You have also challenges. Do you see, or maybe you have also some numbers, how fast it is evolving inside of a company? So maybe at the beginning you have 50 users and then over a period of time it grows and grows and grows. How is the network inside of a company of users growing? Can you talk about that a bit?
You know, the way it starts really depends on the company and the stage of maturity of the, you know, what they do internally and so on. In average, after 2 or 3 months, we engage 1 employee out of 2. And the maximum that we did is 82%, so more than 8 employees out of 10. which is a very good rate of engagement for such kind of product inside the company. I mean, it's not a mandatory product. It means that the people really enjoy what we propose. And then our goal today is to really keep them engaged and come back on the platform to learn a lot of things about CSR, about biodiversity, inclusiveness, and so on, and to have these sessions to bring something to the society. To answer your questions, it's kind of very quick. It takes us up to 3 months to reach, I would say, an average on which that the platform is going to engage people. Obviously, we work to improve this number over the time, but what we see at NOS is that the 2 to 3 months are necessary to reach this amount of people that are involved in the company.
Well, I think that's not that much. I mean, 3 months to get momentum and engagement from the whole company is not bad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I think since day one we have tried to design the product based on the cognitive intelligence and also like design per se. And what we offer is a very I would say progressive experience. So at the beginning, people needs to give their opinion about the CSR strategy. People, you know, it's not a big burden on their shoulders. And for us, this is the beginning of the experience. But it makes, you know, so we need people, you know, to engage people like that. Okay, you have the choice. You can give your vote at some point. And then this is the first result. So yeah, it's fast because I think that people really want to be engaged on CSR topics. This is how it works so far on the platform.
I would also add to that the challenge is not only to get users to activate the account and to do something. It's also to do that in the long run. This is one of the big challenges of the company. And for that, the network effects are very important. One of the key projects we have this semester is to integrate with Teams, Slack, the enterprise messaging tools, because we believe that interaction between users can be very efficient in that regard. And maybe also interactions between users from different companies. When it comes to engagement, impact, it can be a very powerful opportunity to let people interact between each other. So yeah, so the I would say the long run is where the challenge really is, because today we have rather good numbers in terms of activation and interaction. We are a young company, so what we try to do is to engage them in the long run. And I would say that for that, the network effects are important. And also, so it's a different subject, but around network effects, an interesting thing is that it's not only for users. Most of the features that we have on the platform are related to employee engagement, but we want, in the long run, we want to work on clients and partners engagement as well for the companies, tools to, for them to interact with their users, with their clients. And today we already have something that's actually been live for a couple of months, or almost a year or 18 months, something like that, that allows companies to launch campaign with pre-financed donations. Typically, we do that a lot for Christmas operations or New Year operations, where companies say, send to their clients an email or a card, and you can scan. And basically, it says you can choose an association that you like, and we will finance it for you. You know, so you have the money, you can choose the association. And typically around that, there is a strong network effect, because we have signed other clients because of that, because they received it. They thought, oh, that's cool. Like, who's the company behind that? And they saw it during the experience. And so we have companies today calling us, especially in January, because most of these operations were around Christmas. And so we have new companies joining because they received something from another company. And sometimes the client of a company is the head of HR, of communication of another company. And then you get these network effects that are very interesting for us, because over time, it can be a very interesting way for us to develop the company.
Yeah, very interesting. So it's also covering the network outside of the organization, not just inside of your organization, so you can combine them. And typically, you also measure network effects in two ways. First, as you said, how many users you can activate and how fast your network can grow. And second, you also think about the engagement. So how strong do they actually use the network on a daily basis, for example, or on a monthly basis? Are there any learnings from your side how you deepen the engagement of users with your platform over the time? So what works well, what works not so well inside of an organization?
So first, what works well is to ask to users, interview with all users to see what they're up to. And we try to develop features that they want to see on the platform. What works today is that they really like to give their opinion. They really like to do challenges. And what we haven't done enough in the past that we're correcting now is try to time frame their efforts in order to gamify better the platform. That means that having, you know, this period of moments where you engage on something specific with specific learning and so on. So this is something that we try to bring more this year.
Can you explain this a bit more? Not sure if I 100% understood this. So I can dedicate some time of myself, or I get time to focus on specific things. So
today on the platform, you can do so many challenges. The challenges that you do is they're constant, or they can, you know, you have to go back on the platform to say that you're still doing it and you don't change your behavior and so on. There was the beginning of the features for challenges. To remind you, a challenge is something that you do for the planet and the people. It could be like, I don't know, giving your blood. It could be like no eating meat for a while. It could be stop smoking and so on. But so more than 30% of the users do challenges. And, you know, it works best, I think, that if you start to organize a time frame event. For instance, I don't know, imagine that we are in November, December. So you do special challenges that relates, for instance, to the Black Friday and better understanding of what is the Black Friday, some learning and so on. Something which is more related to news, which is time frame, that you have 1 month, for instance, to achieve a couple of challenges. And you can challenge also your colleagues. For instance, Matthias, you could challenge Natalie to, I don't know, to not eat meat for a month. And then at the end, you know, you gain points. And if you gain points, the company gives more money and so on. So there's many ways that we can do. But what we understood is that from the survey that we got with our users, is that they really need us to move a bit more forward with the gamifications. So this is what we develop currently.
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoy our podcast and you can learn more about building and scaling a successful platform business. I'm Matthias, CEO of Fastbreak One. And as you know, we at Fastbreak One are platform entrepreneurs by heart. Since over 20 years, we are building new platforms, and this makes us one of the most experienced platform venture builders around the globe. If you are a corporate and you tried out different strategies, consultants, IT partners, but your platform initiative struggles to scale, please check out our assessment services. For example, we worked closely together with a leading insurance company who tried to establish a platform for 2 years, but the results were below expectations and the risk to fail was very high. Within 1 month, we helped them to understand the bottlenecks and created a step-by-step plan to scale. Today, we are working very closely with the company and the platform became a market leader. Yes, we are no consultants. We are entrepreneurs and we love to share the risk and go full in building new platform ventures. Learn more about our experience and our practices of work at our website www.fastbreak.one or send us an email to contact@fastbreak.one. And now let's go back to the conversation.
So if, again, I'm going to ask another touchy question, but it all seems idyllic. I'm sure knowing that, you know, being an entrepreneur is very hard. I'm sure there must have been very hard things or difficulties that you've been through, barriers, whatever. Anything that, specifically that you could share with us?
One thing is that at the beginning, we were supposed to develop a lot of our tool with a very big company, with a multinational company, who were very interested in leveraging the CSR with the tools. But it was straight before the COVID. It was a kind of big travel company. Then the COVID, so this partnership vanished. And so we had to do otherwise. So it was not really our fault. It was beyond control. We had to rethink the way we'll do things. So we had to invent a bit the way we would develop the product and so on. So more relying on the investment and so on. But I think we did well. And Paul brought a lot of value to that. So eventually it was cool. But,
I want to get over it.
Yeah. No, and another thing, it's something that I'm sure a lot of startups encounter in their lifetime. But again, going back to the subject of time to market and the maturity of the need and the people that we address. So what I was saying, so companies were not considering CSR as such an important topic when we launched the company compared to how it is today. One of my key takeaways from being an investor to being an entrepreneur is that we completely underestimate the difficulty to generate revenues. You know, for an investor, it's just a sale in an Excel file. Huh? It's very, very easy. So you do more and less. It's very easy. We have spent so many hours trying to get people on the phone and then so much time with those people saying how incredible the work we do is and how they need the people like us, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the end, not signing. Like we have spent so many hours doing that and we see it changing currently. So we would not say it's a mistake or whatever. It's just the way it is and the way it was and the way it's changing. But it was definitely a very big barrier for us and a big challenge to overcome. And what we did recently that is also changing. So first, I think that the market is evolving. So it's changing. So this has nothing to do with us. I mean, probably with us and other players all together that make it so that the market is evolving altogether. Because clearly people want to do something, but the motivation and the willingness to do something is not enough to pay for a solution. So what we do is we try to put numbers on this in terms of business, because today the way the economy works is based on financial stuff. People invest in companies based on profitability metrics, dividends, whatever. So they need to find their interest financially. So we try to put numbers on that in terms of employee retention, attractivity, the cost that the companies are not seeing in terms of turnover and which we improve all that. I think also improves the sales cycle a lot because companies feel the need to pay to avoid all this, which is not the same that saying, hey, you want to save the planet? Yes, of course. But then it's not the same to say that and to find the business opportunities within the companies that will make them sign for, you know, the Trojan horse or whatever it's called. But I think we did a lot of work on that and it's paying right now.
Yeah, the way I see it is because we are, you know, thinking we're working on platforms with impact also on our side. And the way I see it is as long as eventually we enable people or companies or we enable the development of impact, whatever it is, CSR, environmental impact, etc., even if it means that to start with, we've got to drive it with an argument that is a financial argument. Well, I think as long as the end goal is there, that's the way it goes, right?
Yeah, yeah, I agree. But in reality, it's always more complicated. But
no, but I think, well, unless I wasn't clear, but I think what I'm saying is that what you're describing doesn't surprise me and doesn't shock me either, because I think the goal is to drive CSR, okay? But if we have to do it by showing that it's a financial benefit, then so be it, right? As long as eventually we enable CSR and we drive CSR.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And to be honest, from what we see on a daily basis, most of the companies work on CSR because for business reasons. Not necessarily money, but employee retention is a very human topic as well. But CSR has an impact on that. And they know that it's true. Even the older CEOs, a feedback I had a couple of times was that, you know, you have this persona of the 60-year-old CEO who was not the best friend of, you know, climate challenges. And the feedback I had a couple of times was that it's because of their children and grandchildren that they think of that and that they realized how much their teams wanted because their children during the Christmas dinner or whatever, they talk to them about it and they realize how important it is. But again, it's not because they want to, it's because they realize how important it is to other people that in the end they decide to do it. So it's not necessarily linked to the own conviction or of the CEO that they have to save the planet or the society. Usually it's because of other business reasons. And so it's fair. I mean, it's how it is. So we try to leverage that as much as we can.
And I think this is maybe the better strategy. All those, let's say, old CEOs, whatever, they are programmed by their old business schools and their experience in the last 20, 30, 50 years or whatever. So they are like they are. They are mainly profit-driven. So they are programmed to be profit-driven, and it's really hard to reprogram them. But they have a kind of an awareness around what is happening around them. And if people are more and more aware, and CSR needs to be there. That there needs to be a strategy for that. There needs to be a positive impact to the planet, to the people. then they maybe have to rethink their choices, their decisions. So I really like your strategy, how to engage with the people, and also what you mentioned that, you know, maybe share it with the clients and so on. Then you also see a network effect outside of it. So, but it sounds also a bit that it helped you as NOS to spread the word and to create network effects for you as a platform, for you as a company. So it has also a positive impact to your reach outside into the market to get more visibility and more engagement with customers. And coming to my question, so you mentioned you have a positive impact to the employee retention rate, but is there also another measurement you can talk about that you think, okay, having NOS implemented for half a year or 1 year or whatever, it has also another positive impact to the company?
Yeah, what we do is we measure the, so the company knows perfectly. First, they engage the people, but then they can communicate on achievement, which are the numbers of hours of higher education given to vulnerable people, for instance. Could be the square meter of land or sea that have been protected, restored for the biodiversity and so on. So after a while, after 6 months, the company just can say like, okay, we have achieved that. We have achieved that in positive impact for the planet and the people. This is something that we measure too, and which is also part of the product, which go, you know, alongside the engagement of the people. And then what we can also say is that to give a better idea, better understanding to the company about what means impact to their employees. I mean, because for you, impact has a simplification, definitions, which might be a bit different than Natalie's definition of impact. And because of your choice on the platform, because of what we do on the platform, we can match, I would say, that profile, what the community of this company think of impact. From there, the company can adapt a bit strategy of the conversation they have with their employees and eventually with their clients.
Yeah, that's also an interesting point in the ROI, if I can say it like this. The fact that they can communicate this information to their customers or partners is also very interesting in terms of brand or whatever business for them. Because they could spend a lot of money in marketing saying, we're doing this, we're doing that. But here you've got, I guess, numbers or whatever, some elements that they can communicate on. So you created the company in 2019?
Yeah, 2020.
And how many users do you have now? Or are you, if you are allowed to say?
Yeah, about 10,000.
10,000.
The first year has been just, you know, about launching the product, preparing the product and so on. So we just launched the product early 2021. And then at the beginning it was mostly about, you know, getting some feedback, iterate the product in order, you know, to launch a good product.
Yeah, so it's quite a rapid growth.
I mean, if you see the good point for us, and this is the interesting part of the story, I mean, 2021, we have this kind of flat, almost nil curve of usage. And since 6 months, it's pretty exponential. So it's a very good thing for us. It brings more problem on the table. We will say that we better enjoy those problems.
But it will reassure the VCs like Paul was saying earlier, right? Because it's good for the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you can also not only engage with the employees and make them create selections or to participate in some challenges, but maybe you can also connect to their smart brains and you could say, hey, what would you suggest to empower our CSR strategy? And maybe the employees have much better ideas than the decision makers. And so you can also build on top of the combined smartness of the employees, and maybe you have a better and maybe also a cheaper but better CSR strategy compared to what maybe the decision makers would think of.
So yeah, and actually the users are involved a lot in the features development, So obviously our buyers are involved, but our users are involved as well. So we ask them what they would like to see. And in the end, it benefits all the companies, but we try to involve them as much as possible.
Unfortunately, we are running out of time, but it's a very, very great example of a platform within a company, how you can create network effects inside of a company, engage with the employees, also shutting down the borders of your company and engage with the clients so you can also spread the word outside. So it's really a perfect example of how to leverage network effects and drive CSR forward. Eric, Paul, thank you very much for sharing this story with us. We always ask kind of a last question to our guests, sharing major lessons learned or major advice with other leaders. So what would be your recommendation? What would be your advice to other leaders, maybe related to CSR, related to platforms, network effects, whatever you think? What is your major learning you would like to share with the other ones?
From day one, we have invested a lot in the team and especially in design. I would say when you do a product, most of the time, some people don't think about the design and so on. And I think that for us at NOS, we invested from day one in design. The design is the UX, the UI, but also, the ergonomy of the product. And since day one, we had the design budget in the business plan. Because at the end of the day, a platform is something that people need to enjoy playing with. And for us, I think it has been the right move. Unfortunately, we didn't have much money to invest on marketing first. But this is something that we can do now, from now. But yeah, design has been always something very important to work.
And I'm trying to think of something, but I would say that on my side, I would say that we never say it enough, but resilience, I mean, it's known for startups, but resilience is important. Going back again to the subject of time to market. So in most of the cases, people are too late and they come in a market where a lot of stuff has been done and there is a lot of competition. So it's hard. In our case, it's the opposite. So we come early in the market where there was not a lot of solutions already existing, but so you need to educate people. It takes time. And so you need a lot of resilience. Yes, more than we can think.
I can echo that one for sure.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, both of you. Well, all of you, I would say.
Yeah. Thank you for the invitation.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Sure. Maybe in a few months, we can invite you again and you can tell us how you've projected yourself to maybe one of the impact unicorns that that we are aiming for.
We hope so. Yes. Maybe the unicorn aspect will be in terms of impact if we collect €1 billion in donation.
I
thought we'd go for zebras and not unicorns.
Zebras, yes, but that's a whole new discussion.
Eric, Paul, thank you very much for joining. It was a great story, and we cross our fingers that you can continue with your growth rate, your exponential growth, network effects, and having a great impact. Thank you very much for joining.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you so much.